I dag skal vi reise til boblenes Italia. Vi skal til Prosecco. Men hva egentlig Prosecco? Det må vi finne ut av. Hjertelig velkommen til ny episode av Kjell Svinkjeller og Tom Aratti. Det var vanskelig å si navnet ditt I dag, Tom. Jeg så gira.
Du klarer det nok hvis du bare roer ned litt.
Tom Aratti Løvås sin drinkfeed. Ja, der jeg klar.
Det var nærme nok.
I dag så skal vi jo sprudle over av entusiasme, glede og intensitet. Og det gleder vi oss til. Og ikke minst så skal vi snakke om det veldig mange glad I, nemlig Prosecco.
Ja, Prosecco, det er jo sommerbobledrikken. Ja. Det rimelige bobler, ja. Som regel. Og det jo drikken som veldig mange unge sverger til, og de kaller det jo, C-ordet, de kaller det jo champagne, det jo ikke det I det hele tatt. Og så det jo også favorittdrikken til, skal vi si, jentegjengen på over 35 som da skal ut og kose seg.
Men du kan bruke C-ordet hvis du sier charmat I stedet for.
Ja.
Og det var jo fordi, I dag så skal ikke vi fokusere på produksjonsmetode, Tom?
Nei, ikke så mye. Vi kommer kanskje innom det, men for vi har jo med en
han, som kan kanskje, alt om det. Kanskje han kommer til å snakke om det?
Det vet vi ikke.
Vi har gjest fra Italia.
Ja, vi skal slå over på engelsk hvert øyeblikk, men jeg vil bare si at altså, Prosecco jo ekstremt populært. Så immari mye av det.
Jeg tror
han nevnte I sted før vi begynte her at de ligger på over 700 millioner flasker I året.
Det helt absurd.
Helt innsides. Ja. Og I sammenligning så ligger jo champagne på et sted mellom 250 og 300 millioner, da, bare sånn for å ha et sånn, for å si noe. Men tilbake til produksjonsmetoder, så to helt forskjellige metoder, to helt forskjellige priser. Ja. Det ikke så mye mer å si da, Anton. Du vil si noe?
Ja, de bruker en drue. Glera.
Ja, det nesten sant, fordi kravet at det være minimum 85% glera, så det jo noen andre ting som lov oppi der. Hvis du skal lage rosé, så må det være Pinot Noir.
Ja, ellers så blir det vanskelig, fordi at glera nemlig en grønn drue.
Ja, men det...
Dette har vi snakket om før, så dette vet folk. Ja, vi kjører på. Skal du introdusere vår venn Ricardo?
Jeg introduserer, og slår den over på engelsk, for dere som trenger ordbok.
I'm a boy, good luck.
Yeah. So, very warm welcome to you, Ricardo, and how do you find Norway?
Thank you very much. Thank you for inviting me. Today is raining, so I prefer the sunshine of Italy, but I like Norway. I like
well, you're here now. Okay, we're going to talk about Prosecco, and you're representing a company that produced the stuff. Can you give a short intro of what you're doing?
So I'm working for Valdo. Valdo Spumante is an historical company in the Veneto region, especially in particularly in Val d'Abbiadene. So Valdo is a short name, abbreviation of Val d'Abbiadene. And the company has been founded in 1926. So we are about to turn 100 years of history, and we will celebrate this important achievement next year during maybe the Winter Games in Italy, Milano Cortina. 2026.
That's going to be very exciting. It's a sort of a difference between Val d'Abbiadene and the rest of the Prosecco world.
Yeah, there's a huge difference and there's a lot of confusion because on the beginning, this is a short story, the Prosecco was allowed to be produced only in 15 different municipalities in the Val d'Abbiadene area. Then starting from 2007, this area has been larger to 9 different provinces. So now we are talking about 556 different villages for a production of Prosecco. And the historical one where Prosecco has been produced for a long time now is called Val d'Abbiadene, Val d'Abbiadene DOCG. So this is why many people make bit of confusion about Prosecco because Prosecco DOC, di origine controllata, is like AOC in France, is a large area. We have 9 different provinces, 550 municipalities. We are talking about 2 different regions. We are talking about a huge amount of bottle produced, roughly more than 600 millions. While the historical area is much more smaller. We are talking about 15 different villages, 90 million compared to 600
so
million.
So you make some wine.
We make some wine, yeah. And if we talk about the area of production, the DOC, which is the larger one, is composed of 28,000 hectares of vineyard, while the historical one only 8,000.
So. Can you say something about the difference between the DOC and DOCG? It's a quality sort of difference.
Yeah, it's about the quality, it's about the soil, it's about the health, because the historical area, so we are talking about Val d'Obbiadene, DOCG, is 8,000 hectares, as I told before. All the vineyards are in very steep hills. So we are talking about steep hills, we are talking about hand harvest, hand treatment, everything is made by hand because you can't use any machine between the vineyards. While in the DOC area, we are talking about flat area. We are talking about machine, we are talking about harvest by machine, treatment by machine. So, of course, it's easier to produce a Prosecco DOC compared to Val d'Obbiadene DOCG. Yeah. And of course, the price is lower, but the grape is the same. So we are talking about Glera. And when you look at the label of Prosecco, on a Prosecco DOC, you can see Prosecco DOC, extra dry, brutal, what else you want. And while Val d'Obbiadene Prosecco Superiore, but the word Prosecco is such a misleading word because everybody, all the consumers think that it's the same wine. While we are talking about larger area, and I like to say we are talking about a village, like in Burgundy. You have a Burgundy, then you have villages, then you have a Premier Cru or Grand Cru and so on. I like to make this comparison between Burgundy and Prosecco, because Prosecco is a larger area like Burgundy, and then we talk about Val d'Obbiadene. Val d'Obbiadene is a village, and then above Val d'Obbiadene, we have 43 different Premier Cru, which is called Rive, but I want to talk about Rive because it's a bit confusing. And then we have Cartizze. Cartizze is our Premier Cru in Val d'Obbiadene area. It's a very small area, and the production is very, very low. And when we talk about Val d'Obbiadene, we have to figure out like a village. And village with higher quality, very steep hill, lower production, very ripe grapes, and of course the quality is higher.
But is it like you can put the word superiore on your wines, but that's only for the Val d'Obbiadene area, so make it easy for the audience. If it's named superiore, the original
superiore means superior, and yeah, means that
it's only the DOCGs.
Only on DOCGs, yeah, exactly. So, only on 15 different municipalities.
Yeah, so when the audience that listening to this and see, here's a lot of information, but superiore, that's mean the original.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So in Italy, we mention superiore in different labels, in different appellations.
Yeah, I know.
Because it's a historical area. So, it's important to understand that superiore means higher quality.
Yeah.
So it's Prosecco, Prosecco Superiore, or Val d'Obbiadene. Yeah. Val d'Obbiadene and Conegliano are two historical villages.
Yeah. And the top?
And the top is Cartizze.
Yeah.
Cartizze is very, very small area of production.
Is that a special field? So special only a few producers can...
So just to give you an idea, we are talking about 100 hectares of vineyard. And in these 100 hectares, we have 100 wine growers.
Yeah, so 1 hectare each.
Roughly basically. is one hectare per wine grower, because the price of this area is so expensive. It's really expensive.
I have to interrupt you a bit, because the cue sound was the popping of the bottle.
I heard something over there.
So we're going to have a little tasting, of course, and I hope you can guide us through it, Ricardo, during this little session we have.
You've been here, Tom. To this area. You're a superior guy.
Yeah, I've been around the whole thing, invited actually by the consortium from the Prosecco.
You're a decent guy.
That was quite interesting, and I have to recommend the total experience going there to the audience, because it's really stunningly beautiful to go there. And
it is.
And the valleys, and it's so green. It's so devastating green. You are almost feeling like you're in some sort of rainforest some places. Right. So we have some Prosecco in a glass.
We have Val d'Obbiadene.
No, we have Superiore Val d'Obbiadene.
We have Superiore Val d'Obbiadene. So Superiore, Prosecco Superiore or Prosecco DSC is made with Glera. At minimum is 85% of Glera. And then in this case, we are testing Marca Oro Valdo, Prosecco Superiore di Valdobbiadene Extra Dry. It's made with 100% of Glera. It's important to understand that when you smell a wine like a Prosecco, the first smell you can find, if the first fruit you can smell is apple and pear. It's a typical of a Glera grape. And then when the wine age a little bit in bottle or longer in an autoclave, because it's a Charmat method, it's different. There's a big difference between Prosecco, Charmat, and Champenoise in Champagne. Yeah. It can age and it can turn in a little bit of honey.
Yes. I really got the honey taste on or smell on this one.
Yeah, so it's in really this case, you have a little bit of pear.
Pear and honey.
Pear and a little bit of honey.
Yeah.
Because we like to have a long Charmat method, because the minimum required from a low for appellation is 30 days. But we like to keep the wine at least 3 months on the lease. And for our special cuvée, we keep it for 12 months. So as long as it is in autoclave, it turns in pure honey, like in this case.
Yeah. Really honey on the nose. Not that much honey. Yeah, it's a little bit honey in the smell as well, but...
It smells like...
It's more sweetness.
On the palate is more pure and apple, green apple, it's typical. And in this case, we are testing next to dry, which means that the sugar content is between 12 and 18 grams of sugar per liter. So, you know, the scale of sugar content is extra brut, extra dry, and so on.
Yeah.
So, let me say that 80% of Prosecco is an extra dry, between 12 and 18. In this case, we have 15 grams of sugar residual, and in some other cases, you have a brut. Only Cartizze, which was mentioned previously, is 99% of the time is dry, because it's typical to use a dry Cartizze. It's the bottle we open during Christmas time.
Oh.
Yeah. So in this case, it's a little bit sugary, 15 grams, so it's very smooth, round, and along on the palate that we've much more pure than honey on the palate.
What do you typically eat alongside this? Or is it
with Prosecco?
Yeah,
Prosecco is typical for aperitif in Italy. You know, I don't know if you used to have a spritz here in Norway.
We heard about it.
But we use Prosecco with spritz or alone as a aperitivo. And then we use it with seafood or pasta.
Yeah.
So it's typical to use it.
So you can basically use it to anything.
Yeah, except meat.
Tom and I think in our head we have like, this is the typical Prosecco drinker, but you probably know what is the normal Prosecco drinker. Who's the biggest consumer of Prosecco?
Well, honestly, I think that a huge consumer, a lot of people that used to drink Prosecco, mainly female.
Yes.
Czech. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the average age is between 25 and 45 years old.
Yeah.
Not too bad, guess.
Not too bad.
We had 18 to 22 and 35 plus, but so we have this gap between is going somewhere else. But
Not too
202.
Bad. Yeah.
Yes.
And, well, mostly in Northeast Italy, of course.
Yeah, but you send wine all over the world, or
Valdo is selling in 61 different countries all over the world. We are market leader in Germany, for instance, in Italy, of course, and we have a good share of sales in the UK as well.
Are you one of the biggest Superiore producers in the area?
Let me say, yeah, I think we are the biggest or one of the two biggest Prosecco Superiore producers. And for sure, we are a market leader.
How many bottles do you produce here?
Totally, the company produces 19 million of bottles per year. And let me say that half of these 19 is made with Marca Oro. Oh. Marca Oro is our flagship bottle. We create this label in 1958, and we never change the label because everybody knows the label, and we won't change it.
That's quite impressive, isn't it?
How big is the cellar? Is the next question.
Well, that's another thing that you don't store a Prosecco in the same way as you do with other vintage wines.
No, we don't store Prosecco. We produce it and just 3 months later, from the 1st of January, we are allowed to sell Prosecco. Previously, we were allowed just after the harvest, but now a new rule changed. And now we are allowed to sell it from the 1st of January of the year after the harvest. So harvest 2025, which is a good one, we can start selling it from 1st of January 2026.
Yeah, and you don't put a lot of amounts in the cellar for 20 years to store.
We need to drink it immediately.
How long, in your view, Prosecco age? Is it a pull and pour drink?
Depends on the quality of Prosecco, depends on the cuvée. For instance, we have a very interesting cuvée in our winery, which has a very long Charmat method of 12 months on release, and you can store it for 3-4 years. Mm. And then, in some case, when you produce a Champenoise method, because you are allowed to produce Champenoise, but nobody produce it, we produce two different cuvées in Champenoise method in our winery, you can store it longer. So we have a bottle, we taste a bottle of 2010, 2012, a few months ago, is still good.
Normal,
in this case you have to drink it, let me say, within 2 years.
But that's doable.
I think that's
Norway, just a fun fact, in Norway, 80% of all the wines bought at the Monopoly are opened in 3 hours.
Perfect.
So we're we're safe on that one.
We're not wasting time. No. But how do you feel about the future for the region and for Prosecco? Is there any development in the product? I know that there's some people experimenting with the pet nut method to make Prosecco.
Yes, so on the beginning, pet nut methods was the ancient method of production of Prosecco, because the region just before the Second World War was very, very poor. So nobody had a stainless steel tank on autoclave for production of Prosecco. So Prosecco was made like a champagne method in bottle. Pet nut means petit naturel. So the second fermentation take part in the bottle, but without the gorgement. So it was a natural fermented wine. And then the production has changed with a stainless steel tank and autoclave. And, you know, now everybody knows Prosecco because it's easy drinking wine, easy to produce it, because it's very fast production. You know, Charmat method or Martinotti.
Martinotti was the original guy. He was Italian and invented
it. Italian guy that create this 1861 method of production.
And then this French guy in Charmat come and stole the idea stole the name.
I like to call it Martinotti because he's the inventor of this method of production. And, you know, it's for the future, unfortunately, but I can say unfortunately, Prosecco DOC is taking advantage from Valdobbiadene DOCG, because, as I told at the beginning, nobody understands the difference between Prosecco and Prosecco Superiore. So the price of Prosecco DOC is lower than Prosecco Superiore Valdobbiadene. And so probably the consumers look at the price and take the bottle. But the difference in terms of quality is higher in Valdobbiadene because of the ripe of grapes. And if you consider that Prosecco DOC is an appellation that has been founded only 18 years ago, and now we are producing more than 600 million bottles. You can easily understand where we are going in the future, maybe.
more bottles, maybe compromising on the quality.
A little bit, yeah.
We have learned something today, that the audience have learned something. Look for the Valdobbiadene or the Superiore, then you know it's the real stuff. And the high quality. Yeah. That's the basic.
That's the basic. And all the things, the DOC, and that's for making Aperol Spritz. Basically.
Exactly. And at the end, I suggest to Google Valdobbiadene vineyard in Images in Google, and you can see which kind of hills we really have in Val d'Abbiadene, because it's an amazing one. And starting from 2019 is a UNESCO heritage site. So it's such important to know that we are UNESCO heritage site, and it's a beautiful place to visit.
How is the biodynamics? Are you going more into the natural stuff or in?
So Valdo is not. Valdo has a couple of cuvées in organic.
Yeah.
But it's quite tough to manage 19 million bottles in biodynamic, you know, and it's a very rainy region, so it's quite tough. There are some producers that use biodynamic in vineyards. I like biodynamic, but depends where you are, because it's not easy to manage this kind of wine growing in that area.
How is the weather? Is it working for you or against you with the global warming and stuff?
Well, it's against us, because we are close to the sea and the mountains. So we have a lot of storm in this period, because the Adriatic Sea is very warm. It's coming warmer year by year. And so you have, and the mountains, we have Dolomite behind us. So, you know, when the sea, the wind from a sea meets the wind from mountains, you have a lot of storms. And it's very, very tough for us.
So it's very special region and very interesting place to visit. We can conclude with that. And thank you so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you. Thanks to you. It's a pleasure.
Skal vi runde på norsk,
Det bør vi, for dette er vi allerede I gang med. Dette da, hva har vi lært? Vi har lært to kjappe ting. Det vi har, Val d'Abbiadene det viktige ordet, ja. Altså stedsnavnet som vi må henge oss opp I. Superiore betyr at det vin fra dette området, og det det originale greiene. Han sier vel, uten å si det høyt, at alt utenfor, det ikke så bra. Holder det innenfor.
Han sier at det en annen kvalitet på det utenfor, sier han. Så vil jeg bare komme med en sånn greie, når dere ser etter disse tegnene, DOCG, ofte på vanlige vinflasker, så jo den sånn rød label helt på toppen av flasken.
Brunrød, ja.
Jeg fargeblind, så jeg kaller den rød. Så kan du velge hvilken farge du vil se. Også, ja. Men der står det...
Jeg spent på hvilken farge DOC har.
Ja, jeg tenkte bare det står DOC, i stedet for DOCG.
For den blir blå.
Skal ikke du bli ufin?
Nei, jeg skal ikke tulle med det. Ja.
Men nå smakte vi jo denne vinen hans da, som tilgjengelig på Polet.
Ja, den vel har du nesten i basis. Ja, jeg skal med data. Den nesten, holdt på å si, nesten overalt. Den i kategori 5, det vil si at den i hvert fall aldri store og ganske mange små. Koster, og her kommer det, altså han sa at de andre var billige. Jeg synes at 157,90 rasende billig.
Det ikke
160
dumt.
Kroner ish.
Det ikke dumt, og vi har smakt når vi får lov til å komme med Jeg synes
hvis du liker vin med litt honningsødme og denne pærefrukten, så dette her helt inne. Han sa det er jo jenter som liker det I alderen. Han var jo raus da.
Han utvidet,
men klinket på med stort
sett. Jeg tror ikke man skal henge seg så mye opp I det, fordi jeg tenker jo når han sier at dette jo en aperitivo-vin, og den lett å drikke, den lett å like, men dette en god kvalitet også. Du kan nesten kjenne på boblene, de er sånn fin kremete, ikke de der store klumpene som ofte dukker opp I, skal vi si, de utenfor områdene.
Da var du snill.
Ja, nå snill.
Ja, jeg helt enig, og det som litt gøy at denne her finnes I fryktelig mange forskjellige størrelser, til og med opp I 3 liter. Så hvis du skal ha et lite lysttillag, så kan du klinke til med en 3 liter. Det eneste du må huske på det vanskelig å skjenke. Ikke ta den I en hånd. Få hjelp av store, sterke menn, eller ring en du kjenner.
Ja. Skal vi runde av der, Kjell Gabriel?
Det skal vi.
Veldig hyggelig prat om et distrikt I Italia som faktisk veldig fint, og jeg kan anbefale å dra dit, for det fortsatt litt sånn urørt av turisme. Enda,
enn så lenge.
Nei, ikke sant?
Jo, jeg har vært der.
Ja, men altså...
Ikke sammen deg, da.
Nei, ikke sant. Det jeg mente.
Ja. Ja. Vi takker for I dag, Tom. Jeg synes du har gjort en fremragende innsats, både på norsk og engelsk. Og Ricardo, thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Og takk til meg selv også. Jeg synes jeg har vært flink selv.
Skal jeg takke være snill, da. Men ok. Vi runder av. Tom Amirati Løvås fra Drinkfeed.
Kjell Gabriel Henriks fra Kjell Svinkjeller. Ha en fantastisk dag videre, og drikk Prosecco, gjerne I 3 liter.
Fra...
Aldo.